Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Mary Griffith Show on this cloudy Wednesday, June 26th. Scott Hardy in for Mary, and we're going live today and tomorrow here on the show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, with premier coffees roasted and delivered, beans are hand-roasted, plenty of blends available for you so that you can enjoy a rich, sophisticated, delicious coffee experience, and you can pick up Harvest Ridge. You can have it delivered to you, or you can pick that up at a convenience store near you. Now, normally, Wednesday morning at around 9:15, we talk about Arts Quincy, and we usually do it with Laura Sievert, but Laura is a little busy today.
Yeah. I'm Jenna, and I'm the marketing director at Arts Quincy. Laura is actually hosting the Illinois Arts Council this morning. We have a representative. His name is Jerome Grand, and he's in town today to offer nonprofit organizations an informational session to learn about some upcoming grants and deadlines and things that they have going on. There's some new guidelines and parameters that they've set that'll make it easier for nonprofits downstate of Chicago to get funding. So it's really an exciting thing that they're kind of rearranging some things to cater to, you know, the rest of the state. Laura's with them. We're getting to show off some of our partner organizations before we have our meeting at the Quincy Museum this afternoon, and that's open to the public. It's at 3:00, and you know, if you're an individual artist, an art educator, a nonprofit community organization, towns, villages, park districts, library districts, you're all invited to attend. It's a free event, and if you'd like to drop in, we have plenty of seats. But if you want some more information, you could call us at the office, 222-3432.
Yeah, and this is important because this is ways to get your hands on grant money from the state of Illinois and from associated arts councils and organizations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the bigger thing that the Illinois Arts Council is known for is supporting or giving grants for general operating support. So, like an organization like Arts Quincy, for every dollar that we get, about 85 cents goes to programming, and you know, that just leaves a small portion for administration cost and things. So with every dollar, we try to make it go as far as we can. So having that operating support from them definitely helps, and it's hard to get. So the more organizations we can share that with, the better. So.
That really, really is. Would you say that this is all kind of started last year when Governor Pritzker's wife came to town? And because I understand that there was like basically bigwigs from the Illinois Arts Council kind of came and saw Quincy, and it seems like they had their eyes open, didn't they?
Yeah. So Laura's actually been working hard on the state, working with the state for a few years. She sits on the local arts network, and she really gave a voice to Quincy in our area about just funding opportunities and what our organizations need, because so many are run by volunteers who don't have the grant writing experience, or their boards switch over before somebody can like get trained in that area. So I mean, Laura did a great job at voicing that, and they heard her. And last year in February, we welcomed representatives from the Illinois Arts Council and the governor's wife to Quincy to see what we had to offer. That day, we kicked it off over here at the History Museum on the Square, and we had a meeting with QPS, QND, the Visitors Bureau. We just invited everyone to come talk to them and introduce themselves and kind of give their organization some exposure. So they also had a afternoon session, kind of a town hall session type thing, and we were able to ask questions and give them more information. So after that listening tour, they had went to different places in the state. They really heard us out, and here we are. So it's exciting. One other thing I was going to say with the types of grants they have, one of them is open for youth employment opportunities. So that's a really great one that's coming up. And some of those applications are due July 19th. So they're open now, but you have to have certain pre-qualifications and stuff. So we're happy to get you information and help you out there.
Yeah, and the capper was when you took everybody to the Maid Ride on 12th Street. That kind of capped off the deal. I'm sure that it did.
Yeah,
it was like, can I keep that bag that you're writing my order on? I'd appreciate that. There's events coming up for you this weekend and into the next month that you don't want to miss, including one Friday night at 7 and Sunday afternoon. It's the Muddy River Opera Company and their new production.
Yeah, La Traviata. It's a romantic, tragic love story, and it's I'm not that familiar with it, but from the synopsis, I'm taking it as a kind of spinoff from the classic Romeo and Juliet. But there's a two lovers and their families don't agree, and it has that unfortunate ending.
Yeah.
So the ultimate price for love, they say. So this is a free opera, and that's just really exciting that they're able to do that. So Muddy River Opera, I believe that they, if you've made a donation, they've had some reserved seats for those people, but they want to offer it to everyone and give those free seats. So it starts on Friday night at 7 and then also a matinee on Sunday at 2. So you can learn more at muddyriveropera.org, or you can call 573-503-1388 for more information.
And the performances will be at the Mary Ellen Orr Auditorium at John Wood. And I got to tell you, you look up the male lead, and it's like there's another reason to attend. He's pretty easy on the eyes. I'll admit that too. He really is.
Now, he is attractive, and so his partner up there. Shoemate, I don't have her name in front of me, but she's just beautiful and her voice is incredible. So she's worked with Muddy River a lot for various productions. So this is an annual production, and this show is their thing for this year.
Yeah, so. Like, go away, you beautiful people. Next month is Quincy Community Theater will have their newest production coming up next month.
Yeah, Newsies, they have opened the tickets for everyone to buy, not just season ticket holders. So those are on sale now, and they've announced the cast. The performances are July 19th through 21st and the 25th through 28th. And Newsies, I wasn't that familiar with this one either, but the description was telling about the tale of Jack Kelly, who's a charismatic newsboy and leader of a band, Teenage Newsies. So the publishing company decided to raise their distribution prices, and it hurt the newsboys' paycheck. So now they're rallying together to strike against the unfair conditions and fight for what is right. So it's based on a 1992 motion picture, and it has a lot of singing, dancing, great for the whole family.
Right. Folks wearing hats, wearing the knee-high breeches and all that stuff in the early 1900s. And, of course, for tickets for that is QCT.org. For Newsies. And then in August, you've got something coming up in August.
Yeah, so the Quincy Arts Center has announced an open call for artists. They have a new exhibit coming called Connections. So they're inviting artists and collectors of all ages to contribute to this exhibit. And that can be original artwork or something that you have in your collection. You could collaborate with people, but the idea is to engage with the community and share your art. So there is no entry fee for this, and you can submit up to 3 artworks. And the deadline is August 9th. And the show starts August 24th and runs through October. And they'll have a nice opening reception for it, too. So it's not very often that they have an open call like that to the area. So you can learn more about the eligibility and requirements and things on their website. That's QuincyArtCenter.org.
All righty, QuincyArtCenter.org. And so, yeah, if you're like a new artist or, you know, you did this in high school and you want to get restarted, it's a great way to dive more into it. So
yeah, and right now there's plenty of time to finish any pieces you're working on or start something new and have it ready to go.
Very nice. It's always so much fun with you guys from Arts Quincy, but runs out. So, yeah, you're not dodging raindrops anymore. So, yeah, we'll keep you updated on this stuff here. And, of course, if you want to find out more, just look on your website at with Arts Quincy as well, right?
Yes. Yep.
All righty. Very good. Jenna Seaborn, thank you so much for popping in on short notice like this.
And great.
Great job there. All right.
Thank you.
You betcha. 9:29. When we come back, we'll get you caught up on the commodity prices from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. And in just a few minutes, we'll find out more about the Quincy Children's Museum. That's on the way here on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee. Scott Hardy in for Mary Griffith, and I've been looking forward to this conversation for a while now. We're talking it over with Amy Peters, who is basically the driving force behind the Quincy Children's Museum and all the things that you do for kids in the area. Glad for you to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, it's a pleasure. Now, tell me, this all got started back in 2019, mm-hmm. right? Now, what was it that made you decide that Quincy needed something like this?
So I've born and raised here in Quincy, raising my kids here as well. So since they were little, we kind of noticed it as a need in our community. So keep going.
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay.
You're fine. I'm the one.
You're good. So yeah. we saw it as a need and really just kind of talked to others in the community to see if they felt the same way, and they did. And so that kind of, it was the opportunity, and then it really just has taken off and grown and grown and grown over the last 5 years.
Very, very nice. Was there anything in particular, like any locations that you had seen that you were inspired by, or?
I think anytime we travel anywhere, there's inspiration, but there's also inspiration here in our own community. You know, we have a lot of really neat things that I think have the opportunity to really entertain kiddos, but it might not be at their level. So obviously I grew up going down to St. Louis, going to the Magic House. So I've had some great conversations with their director early on. And now once a year I get to go meet her and give her a big hug and talk to her because she's been with that organization for over 30 years. So that I think is one right here in our backyard. But what I've learned about the Children's Museum kind of network is at the end of the day, all of the museums want the same thing for children. And so be it someone in California or Florida or around the world, we all are very good at and generous with providing, you know, support for one another.
Exactly. I have to admit, when I saw some of the designs that you have for the building on the website, I was like, oh, that reminds me of the Magic House.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fun and welcoming for kids and the whole family.
Right, absolutely. It's one of those things where we get calls all the time, hey, would my 5-year-old like it? Or would my 10-year-old like it? I was like, you will like it. You know, it's really, we just charge for 12 and under. We don't charge for the adults, but, they're really, we tried to make it so that there's something for everyone at
right.
the Children's Museum.
Yeah. It's like you, and the adults will be like this too. It's like you, I imagine the goal that you want is for people to just enter in and then just kind of dive in, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so kind of our vision is joyful children, engaged families, and a connected community. So, you know, the thought is when parents come in, we want them to truly be a part of it. It's not something where we want you to just sit on the sidelines and watch. There's definitely a time and place for that. But we want the parents to get in and get involved and maybe get distracted and put your phone away for a little bit and play with your kiddos.
Exactly. Now, my understanding is you're currently in one building, but the plan is to move mm-hmm. to another building. Where are you in that stage, in
yeah.
that process?
So obviously, over the last 5 years, we've been navigating those waters, figuring out kind of where we're going to end up. And so the way I kind of describe it to people now is we've got our permanent home there on 3rd and Vermont. But we are committed to being open and fulfilling our mission before that building is ready. That's why we started doing mobile programs and then opened up a small storefront there on Main Street, went bigger and opened up a place in the Quincy Town Center, and now are located here right around the corner on the square. And so our temporary site, we plan to be there until the permanent one is ready. It's really a great facility. We have about 3,000 square feet of exhibits right now, and we rotate the upstairs so that it's kind of ever-changing so that people can continue to come in and experience new things every time they come. But as far as the permanent building, work definitely continues. Fundraising is a constant. As with, you know, any big project, we are continually meeting with individuals and working on grants and things that we can do internally to generate revenue to keep that project moving forward.
Certainly. And is it too early to give an ETA on when the old paper box building might be ready to go for you?
It truly is. We're kind of moving into a phased approach. So we've completed the first couple of phases of the renovation of that building. If you look at it right now and looked at pictures of it from 2 years ago, you wouldn't even recognize the building. So what a lot of people, I think, don't necessarily realize is when we took the building, you know, we hadn't raised millions and millions of dollars. So we're doing this project as the funding comes in. But at the same time, we're running an incredible program around the corner and around the community. So this month, we visited 14 rural libraries all over West Central Illinois. And we've had those conversations with people like, come now, don't wait. Don't wait until the building's open because your kids are going to love it and they really aren't going to know the difference. They're going to be happy.
Exactly. We're at 9:38 here talking it over with Amy Peters with the Quincy Children's Museum. And the website is wonderful because it's just you've got everything laid out and you're always busy with something, including something tonight.
Yeah, so always have different things going on. We try to be open 6 or 7 days a week. We're open tonight from 5 till 8 p.m., so kind of a night at the museum to come and explore. That's definitely one of the later nights. We're not typically open quite that late. Normal right now is Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday mornings. But this week we also have Blues in the Park, so we will have our doors open during Blues. We'll also be at Blues, kind of running both things on Friday. But on Friday night, if you're at Washington Park and you're curious and you want to come in, I'll be at the door. So I'll be welcoming you and giving you a tour with open arms. Come on over, take a break from the music or during intermission, come over and see what we've got to offer.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. Now, this weekend, you're doing a final weekend for Our Stage is Yours. If
yes.
you could explain more about that.
Yeah, so upstairs is our Discovery Loft. That is an area that we've chosen to kind of rotate the exhibits. So every other month we change it. It's seen a lot this year. It had an igloo. It had a construction site. And for the last 2 months it's had a stage. So that exhibit has been called Our Stage is Yours. There was a backstage area. There's a puppet theater. There's a literal stage for the kids to get up on and perform, and they love it. So putting that away is going to be hard, but it's we've got some exciting new things coming. Our next exhibit is called the Hayloft, so we're going to bring in some of the agricultural roots of our community. We've got a barn, we've got cows and chickens and crops and produce, so that'll be really fun to kind of be there over the next 2 months.
That does sound like a lot of fun. We're at 9:40. We need to take a break. If you're noticing something in the theme that Amy is talking about, there's an educational underpinning to all of this.
Absolutely.
We'll talk a lot more about that, and we'll talk about a lot of things that are going to be going on next month and so much more with the Quincy Children's Museum. We'll be back with more here on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show, coming up on 9:43, 17 in front of the hour, as we talk about the Quincy Children's Museum with Amy Peters, and we talked about the agricultural displays that are going to be going up and so much more. A lot of what you do, as we mentioned going into the break, a lot of what you do is just, there's an educational underpinning to all of this, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yes. We really embrace learning through play. Kids all learn in very different styles, as do adults. You know, you can read a book, you can hear someone present a lecture, you can do it. And at the Children's Museum, we give those opportunities to our kiddos and families for the kids to actually get their hands in and, you know, play, but learn while they're playing.
Yeah, that's usually the best way, because it's like, you know, it's as you know with your kids, I have kids that are grown now, but it's like, it's one thing to just, we're going to learn this, and they make that noise of, we're going to do this and have some fun, and then I imagine part of it as well, as a parent, and parents can do this, once they're done with their day at the Children's Museum, having the parents get into a conversation with them afterwards is also very important.
Yeah. So things like our grocery store, the kiddos, you take your kids to the grocery store, but they don't get to go behind the register. They don't get to throw whatever they want into the cart. I mean, mine sometimes do throw a few things.
They
but,
all do, yeah.
But at our little market, the kiddos get to, you know, stand behind the register. It's so funny to hear. They'll say, oh, your total's $4 million, or, oh, your total's 12 cents. You know, they have no idea, but then the parents or the adults are there with, oh, my, these groceries are really getting expensive, or, ooh, that was a heck of a deal, you know, a dozen bananas for a nickel. That, you know, I've got to shop here more often. So it's those little moments, those little conversations that we get to see. We've got, you know, something so simple as this little domino thing on our wall. I don't even know what to call it. But those things like cause and effect, like, oh, I wonder what that does. And then the kids, you know, push one domino over and it makes the whole thing fall. And, you know, how do you stack them back up? Well, the kids kind of have to figure it out. And so to see those little light bulbs come on is cool. But also there's kind of this unique opportunity for things in the museum to kind of, you know, kids do what they want with them. We had, when we had our igloo upstairs, we had ice fishing, and part of the ice fishing included some little fabric bugs to use as bait for the ice fishing. And we also have a vet clinic, and one of my favorite things was, I think our first week we were open, I was like, where did all the bait go? Like, where are the worms? And go down in our vet clinic, and in the little frog habitat is all the worms. So they were feeding the frogs the worms. And I'm like, you know, it takes a kid to think of something like that and make those connections. So,
and it's not like you can argue with them, because it's true.
It was great. Yeah, someone left us a review on Google that was like, you might want to consider moving the coin vortex, because my kid keeps putting pegs in it. And I just had to comment, like, it doesn't matter where the coin vortex is. Last week there was carrots and eggs in it. So, I mean, the kids are going to figure it out, and they're going to put, I mean, we don't get too upset about things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you have got a lot of things planned in July, and we'll touch on that here in a minute. But one thing I wanted to get to is, with all these activities that you do and all these late nights or early mornings, I imagine staffing You know, has it been challenging for you, or?
Truly, we've been super fortunate. We have incredible staff. We've had amazing, amazing people apply whenever we've had a position, and probably countless others that we've had to turn away when we're not hiring. So unlike much of the rest of the, you know, job force or community that's struggling to hire, we're thriving. We have an incredible staff. We have high schoolers. We have young professionals. We have retirees, all sorts of different people that are working with the museum. We've got some teachers that are spending their summer break with us. We've got students that are in college for education that are learning with us this summer and deciding, you know, I'm going to school to be an educator, but this is a little bit different, or what could I bring to the table? So I can pretty much guarantee, because I take my kids sometimes on days that I'm not working, if you come in, you're going to interact with our staff in some capacity, and they're wonderful.
That's nice. That's really nice. And not only that, is that you've planned this out to where you have educators and people with mm-hmm. an educational background to apply what they've picked up over mm-hmm. the years in order to have the kids spark that little idea. And I imagine you just keep going as long as you can with it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's one of those things. In the interview, I've told a lot of our staff, as I'm talking to them, you know, getting the toilets cleaned, that's important. But, you know, if you notice that the kid is, like, off kind of playing by themselves, go play with them. You know, it's okay to stop and play peekaboo with the kiddos. I'm totally okay with that. So, yes, at the end of the day, we do have to clean the toilets too, but, it's a different element, of working at a children's museum. So,
yeah. And I imagine also there's a lot more that you have to do in terms of screening somebody's background before they
even come
in.
Yep, we do background checks, and kind of run through that whole process. But yeah, we've really just had some great applicants, and really fortunate to be able to have a great crew working with us.
Very good, very good. And you're going to put them to work, not only, you know, wrap up the month of June, but into July, including the fact that on the 4th of July, you are going to be open.
Yep, we have learned that sometimes on those holidays, it's the only opportunity that you might have the day off work. And so we will be open 9 to noon, you know, head to go see the fireworks or go to the barbecues in the afternoon. But for some of those families that don't normally get to spend a Thursday morning with their kiddos, you can come. We have some staff that was willing to work it. So we're going to be open, and you can join us on that morning.
And it's just that morning from 9 to noon on the 4th.
Yep. Okay. Normally on Thursdays, we're open from 9 to 6. So going to shut her down at noon, but
right, yep. Right. But the rest of that weekend, you touched on it a little bit here on Friday the 5th. That's when the hayloft opens on mm-hmm. Friday the 5th.
Yep. Yeah, we'll be kind of putting it together all of next week, but its official opening date will be on Friday. So if you come in on Tuesday or Thursday, you might have some access to it already. We're not going to bar you from the loft, but on Friday it will be officially opened and ready to go. So we'll be open on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all through the month of July. I don't know that we have any days off in July. You've got the calendar in front of you.
Yeah, I don't.
Doesn't look like it.
I don't see it. The only thing is, you have a private event on Wednesday the 3rd.
Yep,
so
yep, we do.
So it says you're closed, but you're not really.
Yep, exactly. So that's our day that we're closed, but we've got a group of 50 kids coming in that we won't be able to have the museum open to everybody else during that time.
And just, you know, throwing it out there, that is something that is available.
Absolutely.
If someone can do that.
Yeah, then corporate events, schools, all those kind of things. We have some big goals, so we'll work with you.
Exactly. Now, I wanted to point out real quick before we take a break, the Saturday and Sunday of the 4th of July holiday weekend, Saturday 9 to 3:30, 10 to 11, you'll have an art project, you'll have table exhibits, and then a sensory bin all there in one day.
Yep, all sorts of different stuff going on.
And the same with Sunday as well. DIY activities.
Yep. So just some activities that might not necessarily be there every single day, but up there on our in our loft, we've got some tables set up. So you never know what might be set up when you come in. We've got lots of different exhibits that we can pull out, and games or crafts or different activities. So
yeah, this is an actual DIY where the kids are going to be making part of the exhibit. So they're not going to be doing that. So
who knows? Who knows?
All righty. We are talking over with Amy with the Children's Museum of Quincy. When we come back, we'll talk about Camp Week, which is coming up in less than a month. In the middle of July, we'll talk more about that when we come back here on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee. 9:54, Scott Hardy in for Mary on this cloudy Wednesday. We are talking about events going on with the Quincy Children's Museum. Wanted to get in one thing here. Coming up on July 8th, you're going to be doing something special for St. Louis Children's Hospital, aren't you?
Yeah. So one of my dear friends, Nicole, does this every year in honor of her daughter, Henley. It will be her birthday on July the 8th, and they lost Henley when she was just a couple of years old. So every year, kind of to honor her daughter, they collect toys for the St. Louis Children's Hospital. So we're kind of going to be a drop-off site, but then we'll also be there that day. Henley's family will be at the museum providing admission to anyone that brings in a toy for the kiddos there at the St. Louis Children's Hospital. And if you look around the museum, you'll find a little sunflower that's been placed there in Henley's honor that is just a sweet little nod to their little girl and a way that they've chosen to honor her.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. I have so much admiration for parents who, in an unimaginable loss like that, use that mm-hmm. and use it as a way to better all of us
yeah.
by doing things like this.
Yeah.
So congratulations to them. And if you want to find out more about that, look on your Facebook
yep.
page, right?
Yep, we've got all the info on our social media, so right. Instagram and Facebook.
All right, very good. And the week of July 15th, you're going to be doing something a little different. It's Camp Week.
It's Camp Week. So, we are, registration opens tomorrow at noon. If you're a member, you'll get an email later today with kind of an early access code. Perks of being a member there at the Children's Museum is you get to sign up a day early to send your kids to camp for a week. So this will be our first time hosting a camp where you get to drop your kiddos off and leave. Our capacity is limited, so we do ask that you leave. But as I promised, we have some incredible staff that's going to be there, really excited to do all sorts of different activities with the kiddos. They'll get to play at the museum, but they will also get to do some structured activities, have snacks, and just be entertained while you're doing whatever it is you need to be doing.
Exactly. It'll be the week of July 15th, 1 to 4 p.m. each day at the museum there at 115 North 4th for ages 4 to 10.
Yep, and the kiddos will kind of be grouped with some same-age peers, so the 4-year-olds probably won't be spending too much time with the 10-year-olds, but The building's only so big, so they'll get to see each other if they've got some siblings that are a little bit older or younger.
Yeah, exactly. And as you mentioned, registration starts tomorrow at noon mm-hmm. for that one, and just something a little bit different each week during
yep.
that.
Yep, something different each day. We're going to let the kids kind of dress up special every day. There'll be like mismatch day and pajama day, so honestly, you can send your kids and whatever. We'll just be happy to have them there. But just trying to do something fun and unique. There are some incredible opportunities here in our community when it comes to summer camps and different events. A lot of our partners do special programs over the summer, so we're going to give it a try and see how it goes.
Very good. Yeah, I'm imagining it's going to go over great. We've got about a minute and a half here before the end of the program, and wanted to get back to something we talked about at the beginning, the fact that you are still needing money in
yep.
order to get the building, the old Quincy Box, mm-hmm. paper box company building, to how you want it.
Yes.
And how can folks help you with this?
So there's a lot of ways. sharing the awareness about the museum, stopping by so that you can see it in person, and then be able to really share about what is going on. Give us a follow on social media. We try to be pretty present. But then send in a donation. We have Venmo. You can mail a check. You can drop things off. You can put coins in our coin vortex if you'd like. But truly, our community has been incredible so far. But we've got to keep going. We've got to do a lot of work to get this done. We know that it's possible. We've done feasibility studies and done the research. So we know that it's possible to open a children's museum here and for it to be sustainable. But in order for that to happen, you know, we've got to continue to have these supporters and donors come in and step up to the plate to make it happen.
Yeah. Hopefully you can get to the point where you can get an endowment started, and that wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. We've kind of earmarked some funds from initial campaigns to work towards being able to not have to continually raise funds. But with any nonprofit, it's kind of the name of the game. You know, we are trying to keep our prices affordable so that families can continue to visit and enjoy. And so, yeah.
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Love it. We are out of time here on The Mary Griffith Show. It's 10 o'clock. The Ramsey Show is next.